Liz, I am so happy that Framebridge is a sponsor of this episode of Satellite Sisters because I have the perfect job for Framebridge.
Oh, you have something special that requires framing? Preservation for the ages?
Yes, I do, Liz, because my book, The Marriage Sabbatical, was named a People magazine pick of the week. And guess who is on the cover of the People? My girl, Valerie Bertinelli. I mean, I want the magazine, and then I want to cut out the special, you know, mention of my book all in one frame. Wouldn't that be fantastic?
That's going to be fantastic. Plus, there's your head in a bubble. You have your book, the recommendation of your book, your head in a bubble, and Valerie Bertinelli. Framebridge it, baby.
Right. I mean, Framebridge is so good at framing unique and interesting items you want to display on your wall. It's just used to be difficult to get that stuff framed and expensive, but Framebridge makes it so easy. So if you have travel souvenirs or original artwork or hotel key cards or menus or tickets or wedding invitations, Liz, do you want to frame a license plate? I know who can do it for you.
This is exciting, Lee, and welcome back, Framebridge.
And we love Framebridge because the quality is super high. Liz, both you and I have gotten personal things framed at Framebridge, and we display them proudly in our house because it's easy and affordable. You know exactly how much you're going to pay up front. The frames are gorgeous. You get fast service, free shipping, and it's super great for gifts. And guess what, Liz? Happiness guarantee. If you're not 100% happy with your piece, they will make it right. So Framebridge, get ready because my Valerie Bertinelli, People Magazine, and Marriage Sabbatical Pick of the Week mention is coming at you for framing. See why Framebridge has been trusted to frame over 2 million pieces. Visit framebridge.com or a local Framebridge store to get started and custom frame just about anything. That's framebridge.com.
You're listening to Satellite Sisters.
What's a satellite sister?
The person you call when the best thing in your life happens or the worst.
The person that gets you up, gets you going, and gets you through.
And every once in a while, changes your mind.
This podcast is part pep talk, part weekly check-in.
Like grabbing coffee with a friend.
Thanks for being here. Welcome to the Satellite Sisterhood.
You are listening to Satellite Sisters. Thanks for being here today. I'm Leanne Dolan in Pasadena, California. I'm a writer. I'm a producer. I'm the youngest sister. And today our question is, what's your least favorite and most favorite holiday activity? Liz, what do you think?
Okay, this is Liz. I'm in Santa Monica. My least favorite is every year I buy like a little live tree and from Harry and David or someone. And I promise that this is the year I'll keep it alive, that you know, I'll be able to use the same tree the next year. And I never have once successfully kept the little tree alive. So it's just the drama, the emotional drama of trying to make that decision every year. Is this really going to be the year I will successfully keep my tree alive? But you know what I love about Christmas? I am just a big fan of sleigh bells. I think no matter how silly it sounds in Southern California, I just think there's something super festive about the sound of sleigh bells. So I'm going with that as my favorite thing.
Okay. All right. Jewel?
Hey, this is Julie. I'm in Dallas, Texas. I'm the oldest sister, and I hate to gift wrap. I don't mind buying the gifts. Oh, gosh, I hate to gift wrap. Oh, terrible, terrible. Here's the thing I love to do. I love to sing Christmas carols, okay? Yeah. And you know what? I know a lot of the words to a lot of the Christmas songs, okay?
That's impressive.
I think I might be the best in the family, or certainly among the sisters. Now, I have no voice, but I certainly love to sing all kinds of Christmas carols. There you go. How about you?
Yeah, we're going to give you that title then, if it's important to you. You're Christmas caroler. There you go.
No one is vying for that. Good.
Okay. Okay. And so what, Liz, is a Christmas tree forester? Is that what
you okay. So my most favorite and least favorite revolve around the tree. Like I don't really like putting up the tree or taking down the tree, but I certainly love looking at the tree. I love looking at the tree. It makes me so happy when it's up with the lights on. Plug it in first thing in the morning. I just get a lot of joy out of smelling the tree, looking at the tree. So this is funny because we put it up this weekend and we always get a tree from my son's high school. They do a fundraiser and it's the best deal. You just
pay one price. They get a whole truckload of trees. They bring them down from Oregon and you pick them up in the parking lot. So it's not exactly winter fest, but it works for Southern California. So we pulled in with our tree this weekend on top of our car. And I got the funniest text from my neighbor, Kevin. He has an adorable 5-year-old son, Nathan. And apparently he had been telling Nathan that, oh no, in California, no, we just take our trees out of the garage from boxes. They're plastic. We don't, I know you've seen all those ads and movies, but no one puts trees on their car. So when we pulled in with the tree on top of our car, he was like, wait a minute, Dad. They have a tree.
See, it's a slippery slope, this whole Christmas season thing, right? Yes.
Just lying to your children about Christmas.
Yes.
So I said, Kevin, I know it's complicated, but if you'd like me to come over and tell Nathan where real Christmas trees come from, I can do that. I've raised two boys. So anyway, all right. Today on the show, we're going to get a little more Christmas on the show. Liz was in NYC. It's the best time of the year to be there. We're going to hear about her trip and the Broadway shows and what the city looked like. We also have details on our holiday wrap parties, so that's exciting. We have a lot of news happening. We have an international news roundup. Liz has an update on Tiger Woods vis-a-vis Liz Dolan. I have an investigative report from BuzzFeed, and those are always very powerful. And this is things real hairdressers want you to know. So you're going to want to stay with that.
Oh, I'm going to take notes on that, Lynn.
Yeah. And then, Julie, you have some sort of crime buster candle story, don't you?
Wait till you hear this. We've been missing out on something huge, and I'm going to let all the satellite sisterhood know about it today. Yeah.
All right. And we have entertaining sisters as well. So we have a full show for you today. Liz, though, how was the big trip?
It was so great. Last week on the show, I told you that I was going to New York to see some friends, that I had some theater tickets. But, you know, I made this decision in June because in June, there were three things I thought, okay, number one, my leg will be all better by December. So number one, number two, COVID will be totally under control. And number three, Broadway would be open. Sadly, only the third item on that list turned out to be true, but I went anyway, because what are you going to do? We have to celebrate something. And this was going to be my Christmas celebration. So I was staying with a friend. She also had a recent cameo on Cooking with Liz. So people might've seen Judy in her cameo, but she lives up at 110th Street up near the Columbia University campus. So I got in Friday night, had a quick turn around because we were meeting three other college friends for dinner down on 43rd Street. So there was a lengthy discussion about how to get there, given the situation with old Lefty and New York.
If we have new listeners, Liz, they might not know you injured your leg. You injured your leg pretty badly. I just want to remind people every once in a while we have a new listener. Old Lefty is Liz's leg that she's been rehabbing for a year.
Right. At the beginning of the year, I broke my leg and my knee, and it's healing, but super slowly. Anyway, so, you know, New York, it's all about the walking, which is still a little sketchy for me. So we debated, taxi, Uber, taking the subway, but I was feeling good. I was feeling like I'm in New York. I'm going to do it. So we decided to take the subway, which meant walking to the subway, walking down a set of stairs, getting on the subway, walking up a set of stairs, that we would take the subway, that I would not bring a backup crutch. It would just be me and my own two legs. And then that I was really going to go for it. And instead of wearing sneakers, I put on my silver snakeskin boots that have heels. I was feeling really good. So here's what we did. So we left Judy's apartment. It's like half a block to the subway. So that seemed like totally doable. That was doable. But then I made it down three steps of the staircase into the subway. And I'm like, okay, the real error here was wearing the boots. That if I had sneakers on and no heel at all. Anyway, so I made it down three steps. I'm like, nope, no can do. I'm not going to do this. So we bailed, got in a taxi. And so that seemed like, a fail. But then the taxi tour You know, New York at the holidays, it's like super crowded, which means the traffic is super packed and moving very slowly. But as a result, and our cab driver inexplicably decided to drive down Fifth Avenue, which is the most crowded street in New York, right? So we did the whole taxi.
Oh, nice.
It was nice. Perfect.
Okay. I thought you were going to say you got in a horse-drawn carriage. But it seems like the slow-moving taxi, you know, maybe you saw all the lights and
exactly,
all the stars.
Julie.
Okay,
yes.
Sounds good.
Could not have planned it better. Slow roll down Fifth Avenue. We saw the tree. We saw the lights. We saw the store windows. We heard the sleigh bells. It was fantastic. So that was a fail that turned into a big win. So yay for the spirit of Christmas. Then this is the first time the three friends we were meeting, it's the first time I'd seen them since the before times. And for one of them, it's the first time she's been out at all. And like in a public place, inside in a public place. She's had long,
really?
She's had long COVID. And so it's been like a super rocky time for her. So it was so delightful. We literally closed down the restaurant. We
were
just sitting in the corner, just the five of us by ourselves, just so much to connect on and share on. And so felt very edgy to be like, ooh, up late out in the big city. So
ooh, yeah,
it was a super special. And
how nice, Liz.
That's great.
Great, Liz.
Yeah. That's great for you. Great for all your friends. That's wonderful.
Yeah. Everyone was surprised just how it just felt super special. Which was nice. So the next night was then, that's when I was going to see the Alanis Morissette musical Jagged Little Pill, which I told you guys about last week on the show.
Yes.
So if you want to get caught up a little bit in Alanis Morissette, in case you've lost track, there's a really interesting documentary that just came out about her. It's called Jagged. And luckily someone had tipped me off to it. And it's a really good reminder of what a huge star she suddenly became at 19. You know, when that album came out, it was unbelievable. Do you know Jagged Little Pill? It was owned by 1 in 10 Americans. It's the second best-selling album of all time by a woman. And
yes, I did know that. Was a huge, huge breakthrough album. Like, it was really different. It's one of my favorites. It just shook you to attention. Yeah, yes. That was a really groundbreaking album for a 19-year-old Canadian. Yeah.
Yes. And so do watch if you're thinking, what are they talking about? Watch this documentary, because it's interesting to hear like the radio DJs and remember, that's when radio existed to promote music. So anyway, so that was great. But what makes this show unusual, the musical, is most of these jukebox musicals, as they call them, the story of the musical is the story of the group or the artist. You know, it's Diana Ross or it's the Temptations or, you know, so the story is about the music and the artist. That's not what they did with Jagged Little Pill. It's actually an entirely original story written by screenwriter Diablo Cody, you know, who did Juno. And so the story is like funny and dark. And the star of the show is actually the mother in the story. It's about this family. And the mother is an actress played by an actress named Elizabeth Stanley. And she won both the Tony and the Grammy for this performance. So she's amazing. And what the story does is it takes some of the themes from Alanis' life, which if you watch the documentary, you'll see some of it is sort of sexual exploitation when she was very young and on her own. And so it creates an original story around that. So it's not exactly a Christmas theme. You know, it's not necessarily a show to take the youngins to, but it was just super well done. And it's also the first time I've ever been in the theater where there were two complete showstoppers. And, you know, the word showstopper comes from the fact that the show stops. Like the performance is so unbelievable that it's like standing O in the middle of the show happens twice in this show, or happened twice in the second act. So, and one of course is probably her most famous song is You Ought to Know. And so that was performed by an actress named Lauren Patton, who's not even in the core family. Anyway, so super great. very intense show, but we loved it. Anyway, so then you have, as anyone who's ever been to the theater in New York knows, it's when you get out of the theater, when everyone pours out at the same time, that it's like just, it's another transportation challenge, sister.
Okay, now you took the horse-drawn carriage. Is this what you did? Yeah.
No, Julie, they do have all those pedicabs now.
Okay.
You know, oh, working the theaters. So, but when you're going to 110th Street, it would take you like 2 hours in a pedicab to get up there. But they kept stopping in front of us. I can take you. I can. No, no, we're not. You're not taking us. We're not going in a pedicab to 110th. But there was just, yeah, there was the subway. Obviously, I'd already bailed on the subway the night before. There are no taxis, forget it. Uber had like super surge pricing. So they wanted $70 to take us to, no, we're not doing that. And then all of a sudden, out of the mist, an M104 bus appear that goes all the way up Broadway to 110th. Yeah.
Public transportation. Unbelievable.
Public transpo. Bus.
Yeah.
Whip out that Metro card. And FYI, travel tip, the New York City buses now also just take Apple Pay. So you can just use your phone. Yes. Good tip.
Thank goodness. My gosh. Yes. That's amazing.
So the bus started to go by the bus stop where we were standing because there was so much traffic. So Judy literally ran out into the middle of the street. She's in the third lane of traffic and made the bus stop. So not only did the two of us get on, but there were two other ladies a little older than us who had also just gotten out of the theater. So the four of us were the only people on the bus, and we're zooming up Broadway because there's nobody standing at the stops at this hour. Anyway, that was delightful. So that was a big win. The public transpo in New York really did bail us out of that situation. So that's that. Then the next night, that's when I went with another friend and our sister Sheila to a performance of Six. No, that was at 6 p.m. Again, as I mentioned last week, that meant we had to have our pre-theater dinner at 4. So we had a 4 p.m. dinner reservation. But then the restaurant called my friend and said, could we come at 3:45 instead?
And that's just a perfect time, right?
A perfect time to have dinner in the theater district. So that was great. We had a great catch up with Sheila, FYI. She's loving her job and she's loving her place where she lives and she's loving being closer to her daughter. So that was all super fun. Then boom, we go to see, my friend Catherine and I go to see Six, and it's super fun. And it's only 80 minutes long with no intermission.
Love that. Yeah.
If that's what you're looking for, this is the girl power one. Yeah,
then that means you can be in bed by like 8:30.
Julie,
by 8.
Yes.
Eight.
I was home at 8 o'clock. Okay. And then just one more thing. So the next morning, three more women I went to college with came to the city, one from Boston, one was in from San Francisco, and another one just from the suburbs. And we all got together for lunch. And the conversation at lunch, you know, time to get real people. One of my friends said, okay, let's each talk about our pandemic peaks and pits. So highlight, low light. So we got into it. Which felt great. And, you know, for one of these women, going into marriage counseling was actually a peak.
Oh,
she talked about how great that turned out to be. Anyway, so I just went from one emotional highlight to another. It was really, really nice. So I am so happy I went. You know, I almost bailed at the last minute because of the Omicron or whatever. But I exercised all the same cautions I would, you know, with the masking and the this and the that. And so I just say, whether it's New York City or the city near you or any sort of musical performance, art performance that lifts your heart. Like, I didn't realize how much I needed it. And I really needed it. And I got my holiday celebration on. And I am super glad I did.
Oh, that's great to hear, Liz. That's fantastic.
Yeah, we're so happy, Liz. Well deserved for you, too.
Yeah. And you know how, I mean, New York City at Christmas time, it's hard to beat New York. I know, right. I just said any city is good enough. It's not really true.
It's not true. LA is not good. It's terrible Christmas decorations. It's terrible.
The fake snow just doesn't do it for me in LA.
It's terrible.
At a shopping mall. It is. New York is very crowded, though. So, you know, you got to be ready for that. But I was so happy to see so many people there, you know, like people just pouring in from all over to get their holidays on. So it was, It was really great. So there you go. That is right. My holiday report from New York City.
Well, Liz, might I suggest then for Satellite Sisters listeners that maybe our Satellite Sisters holiday wrap party will be all you need to get your holiday on this weekend.
Right. Yes, that's going to be very festive. I can't wait.
It will be a live performance. There won't be any singing, but there will be some drink making. There will be some eating, some pate talk. And then we want to have you post your toast like you did last year. So this Sunday, December 12th at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern, we are doing our Satellite Sisters holiday wrap party on Facebook Live, right? Mm-hmm. So to participate, you should go join our Facebook group. Correct.
Yes. As long as you're part of the Facebook group, it will come up live on your screen. And you know, we had lots and lots of people last year in the Facebook Live inside the Facebook group, and it's very fun. But Leanne, you just said there will be no singing, but Julie just volunteered at the top of the show to sing.
I also have some bells at my house, Liz, too. So
I feel like there needs to be a command performance of the sister who just claimed she's the caroler. So
it's a really good point, Liz.
Okay.
Okay. So Julie, cause we haven't really produced this yet. So you're on. Figure that out.
Wait a minute. We're going to talk about this. Okay.
But we will be making a drink. Do I wish I could tell you the name of the drink right now? I do, because my son Colin was supposed to text me last night the name of the drink. And he's asleep in the other room. And I've been frantically texting him like, I'm on the air live. Could you please text me the name of the flaming drink? So
well, this
worry.
Is dramatic. Maybe by the end of the show, he'll be up.
Yeah. Let's hope. So we'll post it
when we get it. Right.
Yeah, we'll post it. It will be in Pep Talk. We'll spread it around. So, you know, the important thing is to put on your, you know, festive holiday wear Sunday, December 12th, 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern, Satellite Sisters holiday wrap party on Facebook Live. Now, once we do it on Facebook Live, if you can't make it live, we will post it. You'll be able to watch it afterwards.
Right. We'll share it on Instagram. We'll share it on our Facebook page, which is open, and, we might even share it someplace else, but that's top secret. Not ready to announce that yet.
DVD.
We could just put it on our website too, if we knew how to do that. I'm sure we can figure that out in a week.
It's harder than you think. It's what I tell people anyway. Okay. So that is this Sunday. We hope you join us for our Satellite Sisters holiday wrap party. This is year two. This is an exciting new tradition. So, so we hope you're there and post your toast. We would like you look in the Facebook group, or you can email us hello@satellitesisters. If you have a holiday toast that you would like us to read during the wrap party, please let us know. We would love to do that. We did that last year and it was a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. So someone who has made a difference in your year or something you want to, say cheers to this year, we would love to hear that. So go ahead and do that over in the Facebook group. All right. We're going to come back with some news stories, but first we want to thank a couple of sponsors here at Satellite Sisters.
Liz, some people say it's spring, but I call this Osea season.
Oh, you do? Okay. I like it. We can make that happen. Osea season. I'm in.
Well, you know, there are a lot of events this time of year, right? You have spring holidays, you have graduations, there's Mother's Day, baby showers, weddings, wedding showers. Don't you want to be moisturized, Liz? Don't you want your skin to look as good as it can possibly look when you show up at your high school reunion? I mean,
yes, I do. Yes. Yeah, for sure. Plus, it's a big gift season, and Osea is great for that, too. So,
right. Oh, yeah. Give your skin a glow up with Osea's clinically proven seaweed-infused skincare that provides results you can see and confidence you can feel. And right now, you're going to get 10% off your first order with our code SATSISTERS at OseaMalibu.com. You know why we love their moisturizing products? Like their anti-aging body balm? Because it's silky. And it's a serum lotion hybrid. It just melts into your skin, Liz. It leaves you glowing, you know? Glowing.
I love the term glow up. I'm going to start using that more. I just love it.
Well, Liz, OseaMalibu.com, it's a glow up in a box, Liz. Get it. Get on it. If you want to celebrate Osea season by glowing up and adding moisture with their fantastic moisturizing products, here's what you do. Glow from the inside out with clean vegan skin and body care from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with code SATSISTERS at OseaMalibu.com. You'll get free samples with every order and free shipping on orders over $60. Head to OseaMalibu.com, and Osea is O-S-E-A. OseaMalibu.com, and use code SATSISTERS for 10% off. Thanks, Osea.
Okay, sisters, I wanted to tell you about something really fun I did this week, and I thought it was going to be like a fun little story, and then all of a sudden it became like an international news event. So,
okay. Oh, really?
It's unexpected. Okay.
Living large.
Well, as many people know, we're big supporters of the Olympics and Olympians, and we have been involved with the U.S. Olympic Committee Foundation. That is the foundation that raises money for the actual athletes for a couple of years now, since we went to Rio. Liz and I went to Rio, and then we've stayed in touch, and we've supported U.S. athletes through the USOC Foundation, right? So so occasionally we get invited to fun things. And I got invited to an online dumpling making class because the next Winter Olympics, as everyone knows now, if you didn't know this Monday, you know, right. Now on Tuesday is in Beijing. Okay. And it seems to have come up rather quickly again, because they had to postpone the Summer Olympics. And all of a sudden we have back-to-back Olympics, and it's a lot happening if you're trying to support the athletes financially. So they were trying to, you know, get people excited about that. So we had this wonderful dumpling making class with a world-class dumpling maker from San Francisco. And you know, who was on the dumpling making class was Mirai Nagasu, the bronze medalist.
Oh, right.
Yes, the skater. Yes. So she's, you know, retired from skating. She just graduated from college. She's trying to figure out what to do with her life, but she was on making dumplings with us and answering our questions about what it's really like behind the scenes. And, you know, does it hurt to fall on the ice? We were asking her really insightful questions like that. And it took 2 hours to make delicious dumplings. Now I will say this. I have never made Chinese dumplings, and mine look like empanadas. And
okay.
So.
Southern California style.
Okay. You have to start somewhere, Lynn.
Yeah. I mean, rolling out the dough was really rough for me. To roll it out into perfect little mini circles, forget it. But it tasted delicious. So 2 hours later, we had this fun, uplifting, you know, yay, let's go U.S. athletes in Beijing. Super fun. And then the next day, yesterday, the U.S. announced that they're going to have a diplomatic boycott against the Olympics in Beijing, the Winter Olympics that start in a couple of months. I just feel, I understand why it's happening. I feel terrible for the athletes. They're caught in the middle of this. And it's just, yeah. Again, and it's just, and I get mad at the International Olympic Committee. Yeah, right. It's not a great play to pick China. A lot of problems there. You know, things are very tricky there. You're asking a lot of the world community to support games in a place where there's regularly human rights violations and no freedom of the press. So I just feel terrible that these athletes are caught in the middle of this diplomatic boycott. Now, this is different than what happened in 1980.
Right.
You know, in this case, the athletes can go. It's just the U.S. is not going to send, you know, the vice president. They would normally send somebody, a diplomatic corps,
right.
And they're not sending anybody. But they said the athletes can go. We will be rooting for them from home. Not a problem. Remember, there were going to be no foreign visitors at the Olympics.
Because
anyway.
They're still dealing with COVID, right?
Right,
so they
right.
They still have very strict regulations. Sadly.
Right. Yeah. Right. So this is a diplomatic boycott. And also important to remember, the U.S. government does not fund the Olympics in any way. So right. That's what made athletes very mad about the 1980 boycott, was we don't get any money from the government. How come you get to tell us whether to go or not? So right. I think this is the very narrow line they're trying to weave here. But I just feel terrible for these athletes who are in the middle of, you know, really the end stages of their training and qualifying for the team.
Right.
Stuff.
I mean, so much hard work, and, you know, you would like them to be able to celebrate and
yeah.
You know, celebrate it on the world stage.
Yeah.
You know what, Leanne, this rolls right into the international news roundup, because as soon as we announced the diplomatic boycott, the Chinese came right back. And you know what they said? They said, no one cares if the U.S. diplomats come. That's what they yeah. said. Okay.
Well,
so that is pretty darn hostile. At the same time, remember the Women's Tennis Association, they announced this week that they're not going to have any more tournaments in China until that they really are satisfied with what has happened with the Chinese tennis player Peng Shui. So
this, which I think was really gutsy of them.
This is gutsy. They're a small organization. They've taken a very big stand. You know, other sporting organizations have not done the same.
Right. Like the IOC, the NBA, right. Many.
And so this is, and also realize that Peng Shui, while she's an outstanding athlete, outstanding player, she's not like the marquee player for the Women's Tennis Association. You know, I mean, yes, she would draw a crowd in China, but you know, the I think it's great that they stood up for all of their athletes, regardless of their status, you know, or world ranking. So that was good. But yes, this certainly does cast a dim light on the Olympics. It's going to be sort of interesting to watch to see what happens. Hey, can we talk about Russia? Because that's in the news today. President Biden is on the phone with Vladimir Putin. And, you know, Vladimir Putin has amassed large amounts of troops and soldiers along the Ukrainian border. And the interesting thing for me is, as the resident, you know, Kremlinologist here at Satellite Sisters and a Putin watcher for a long time, is all the discussion about, like, I wonder what Putin is really going to do, whether he's really going to invade Ukraine. Okay, Putin's been in power for 20 years. Like, when he brings that many troops to a country, like to the, you know, border with Crimea, he invades the country. Okay, I mean, you know, I mean, when he sort of perceives any kind of weakness, you know, when he decided that he would prop up the Assad government in Syria, same thing. You know, he just moves. I'm just surprised that people are surprised.
Still surprised, right?
Questioning, right, like, what Putin is going to do. I think he has a long and very definitive record of, you know, wanting to reassert himself on the world stage and to pressure those that don't agree with him into submission. Mm-hmm. So. Mm-hmm. I think that.
And Julie, can I just say, not only are you our Kremlinologist, but you did live in Moscow for 5 years.
Yes, for those who
don't know that. So you.
Right. So I have seen this, you know, I have seen him like destroy the international press. I have seen him harass, murder, you know, Russian reporters, you know, that, you know, watch this over the years. And so I think, you know, he's pretty definite about what he's doing. So I don't think it should be a surprise if he takes, you know, a more aggressive action for Ukraine. And I feel very badly for the people of Ukraine that don't deserve this kind of incursion. So, hey, we got to move on to Miramar. You know, now this is a country where, you know, for many years here on Satellite Sisters, one of our heroes, one of my heroes that I know for Liz as well, is Aung San Suu Kyi, the Nobel Prize winner. And she was always been such a large defender of democracy, you know, in more recent years, because she failed to stand up to some of the genocide associated with the Rohingya population in Cambodia. It's, you know, it's a much more complicated figure, but she has been sentenced to prison. She has been sentenced to 4 years in prison, but she has more charges against her, which could lead to up to 104 years in prison.
And what was she sentenced for, Julie?
Major areas. One was for breaking COVID regulations. And the other one is for incitement, that there's still a military junta running that government, and that she was seen as an opposition, still seen as an opposition leader to this military government. So that's one to watch. So not a lot of happy news there, sisters, but one story that did catch my eye that I think we can all at least relate to. I don't agree with Guido Russo did. He's a dentist in Italy. Okay. And he was trying to get around the vaccine mandate in Italy. And so he went online to Amazon and for 416 euros, he bought a prosthetic arm and he took that to the vaccination.
Are you kidding me?
No. So he had a fake arm, Leanne. Okay. And it was, you know, he paid a lot of money for it. So it was a pretty good looking plastic arm. But a very smart nurse who was about to give him the injection just said, hey, this doesn't look right. Okay.
So, I'm sure when she put the needle in, you can kind of tell.
He just said the skin, the skin tone was not right. Okay. Before she even got to injecting with the vaccine. So now dentist Guido Russo, he said his life is ruined. Okay. Because he wouldn't get the vaccine. Okay. Just get the vaccine.
The vaccine, Guido. Oh.
I know. Wow. I've been thinking you could get away with that.
I don't know. I mean, it's just a shot. Okay. That's all it is. Okay. So that's it. So some interesting stories from around the world.
Okay. Well, I have one story I wanted us to catch up on. And that is the story of what's up with Tiger Woods lately. You know, he did his first press conference last week. It was as part of a tournament he sponsors every year. But because of my own aforementioned leg injury at the beginning of the year, I've been following closely what I call the celebrity leg busts of 2021.
Yeah.
So that's pretty much Tiger, it's Ashley Judd, it's Brooke Shields. It's, you know, even though I know that emotionally it is totally not healthy for me to track my progress against others, especially other, you know, celebrity leg busts where who knows what resources they have. I have been paying close attention, but especially to Tiger. I knew him early in his career and I thought, well, if anyone can climb back from something like this, it's someone like Tiger Woods. So you may recall that in late April, he shared that smiling photo of himself on crutches with his dog Bugs. And yeah. I was skeptical, right?
Because you were more than skeptical, Liz. You were mad. So I'm bitter. Just say it, Liz.
Yeah. No, I want him to heal, of course, but it was just I couldn't help but compare where he was pretending to be to where I was at that time. And his accident was a month after mine. Anyway, so I'm going to give you now that I've watched every single Tiger Woods press conference from last week, this is a sort of compare and contrast where we are the same and where we are different.
Okay. Liz, all right. Take it away, Liz. Let's see.
Okay. We are the same in that both of us busted up our legs earlier this year. The difference is that mine was the left and his was the right. And I will admit, his injuries were worse. Okay. So that's where same, different, same. He said in these press conferences that he was immobilized, completely immobilized for 3 to 5 months. So same there. The difference is that he said he laid in bed with a golf club and what he said, working on his hands. I don't even know what that means, golfers. Like, what are you doing? But he's like, he had people throwing things to him and trying to keep working on his hands. So he's laying in bed with a golf club. I, Liz Dolan, was laying in bed watching Schitt's Creek on the TV Ian and Colin installed for me. That was sort of.
Okay, so you had a remote control. He had a golf club. Okay.
That's true, Julie. My handwork was with the remote control.
Okay. Good.
Okay. All right. Where we are the same, he said in these interviews, he now has what he called a hitch in his giddy up. And I would say same here, especially in the morning. Leon, I had dinner with you a couple of weeks ago. You saw I can walk, but there's a little hitch in my giddy up.
Yeah.
But I'm up and about, you know, except early in the morning where just that's tough. The difference is now that he's walking, he said he realized how big his house was and I realized how small mine was. That because basically for a while there were only two rooms that I had access to, but he's realized that maybe, I don't know, what's his house, 20,000 square feet, 30,000 square feet, maybe when you got a hitch and a giddy up, that feels like a long way. Anyway, so where we are the same, he said he can walk on flat ground but has trouble going up and down. So the difference is, you know, as I established with my subway story, yeah, I'm also not good on the going up and down, but I'm pretty sure he doesn't attempt to wear silver snakeskin boots when he goes up and down. So I thought that was brave of me, even though it didn't work. It was the same. He said he can get outside and move around now. So very happy to hear that. Same for me. It makes a huge difference when you can just get outside and move under your own power. The difference is, for him, it includes chipping and putting, sisters. So, you know, I have no chipping and putting in my game. I'm just happy to be able to walk my dog Hooper around the block without falling down. One funny thing though, is he did say, like, so he was chipping and putting on his home golf course, but he realized he can't get the balls out of the hole because he can't reach over and, you know, get them out of the hole. So he had to call for help. So anyway, so he's returned to the golf course and I've returned to the kitchen cooking with Liz. Woo-hoo.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then the big same, he said he doesn't have to compete against the best players in the world anymore to have a great life. And I'd say, me neither, Tiger. No, we are very, very similar that way. But most of all, he said that he's healing more slowly than he expected, but he's confident he'll get there, but it's many months away. And I would just say same, same, same. Anyway, did you guys watch any of the press conference or the coverage of this?
Just a little bit, just enough. Yeah, just enough.
So. You know what amazed me, Leanne, is that even after he said all of these things, still people asked, so when are you coming back?
Yeah, it was just stupid. Yeah. Oh, you know, maybe he's going to play. I heard a lot of speculation. Oh, he's going to play a couple tournaments a year. I don't think that's what he said.
Yeah,
he said that's not what he said. Like, he said he likes watching his son play golf tournaments now. Like, he said that's what he enjoyed. Yeah. It's just, yeah, it was, there's a lot of denial in the coverage, Liz.
Totally.
I'll agree with that.
He said, really, I will never be able to compete at the elite level again. The way he put it, Julie, he said, I have climbed Mount Everest before. I am not going to be able to climb Mount Everest again.
Okay.
But to me, that's pretty obvious.
Right.
I mean, what do you want the guy to say? He's killer competitive. That's the closest he's ever going to get to saying, I can't do this anymore. But then they asked him, so are you coming next year? It's the 150th anniversary of the British Open. What do you think? You're going to make it? And I was like screaming, like, were you people not listening to what he just said?
He can't even walk to the kitchen from his giant house. No, he's going to be able to do the course at the British Open.
He said at one point is 50-50, they were going to have to amputate his leg.
Right. Yeah. I read that.
My God. Anyway, so. Good work, Tiger. I'm with you, man. We have so much more in common than I ever thought. So much more in common.
You're going to be pen pals or something? Yeah.
Well, now I'll work on the Ashley Judd and Brooke Shields rundowns.
Okay, that's good. That's good, Liz.
Well, this sounds very healthy, Liz.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm doing what I can.
I was going to just make a joke that our sponsor this week is BetterHelp, and you might want to think about it. That's all.
Right. You think that might be a better use of my emotional energy? I have no.
Well, it was a very thorough analysis, Liz.
Yes,
I mean, that's for sure. Okay,
good work.
Okay, good. Thank you, Julie.
All right, we're coming back. We're coming back with an investigative report on what hairdressers really think about you. Also, Julie's going to talk about some crime busting candle situation, and we have entertaining sisters.
Liz, you look really happy. What's happening there? A lot of things going my way, Leanne, but here was the best news in my inbox this morning is I got my email from ButcherBox saying, we're starting to get your next box ready. And I just love when this happens because then you click on the link, you can go in, you can see what's on sale, you can get the best value for your next order, and then boom, customized box showing up in a few weeks at my place. I love being in the ButcherBox family, and they give me plenty of time to get ready every time.
There is good communication in the ButcherBox family. I agree, Liz. They want you to be happy.
Yeah.
They want you to have
peace. Better than many families.
That's right. It's right. You know, we love the 100% grass-fed beef, the free-range organic chicken, the pork that's raised crate-free, wild-caught seafood. They're humanely raised, no antibiotics or added hormones. And as Liz said, delivered right to your doorstep. Free shipping always, and you get that customized box of everything you want. ButcherBox, thank you so much for bringing us peace of mind, and keep those emails coming. Liz, today's offer is spectacular. ButcherBox is giving Satellite Sisters listeners free ground beef for the life of your membership, plus an additional $20 off your first order.
Okay. Oh, that is the deal of the century, people. What are you waiting for?
Free ground beef for life of your membership, plus an additional 20% off your first order. Use the link
butcherbox.com/sisters and use code SISTERS to get free ground beef for life plus $20 off your first box. That's butcherbox.com/sisters, code SISTERS. Thanks, ButcherBox.
Okay, we are back. Couple of things. First of all, I had a really nice book signing this week at Vroman's. It was super fun to be. It was super fun to be in person. It was super lively. It's great to see an indie bookstore like Vroman's thriving. Such an important part of our community, like your indie bookstore is an important part of your community. I want to thank Satellite Sisters listeners, Margaret and Karen, for coming to the book signing. It was really nice to meet you in person. Margaret has been listening for 20 years since our KABC days. And Karen's a relatively new listener, but she's a special ed teacher. And she said it's been a really, really tough year. And she's really, really appreciated our podcast for helping her get through this very tough year. Karen, it was very touching for me to meet you. Thank you for coming to the book signing.
So nice.
Yeah, it was super nice. I mean, there were lots of people there, but Margaret and Karen, I just wanted, and Mary, thank you, Mary. I just wanted to thank listeners for coming. You know, I just want to mention too, my next book is coming out in April. And I'm going to try not to beat people over the head with Lost and Found in Paris. On the other hand, there are some fun opportunities, and I'm going to mention a few things because you just wrote it and this is my podcast. But there is a Goodreads giveaway happening right now. So if you are a Goodreads member and you want to get an advanced copy of Lost and Found in Paris, you have to until the 9th to enter the giveaway. I don't have any control over the giveaway. I can't do anything. This is not run by me. It's run by the Goodreads and the publisher, but you do need to enter by December 9th. So there's a link in the show notes. There's a link on all the social media platforms that we have and that I have as an author. So just look around or go to Goodreads and search Lost and Found in Paris giveaway. And I just want to mention too, that it was listed on the 66 must reads for 2022, Lost and Found in Paris from Zibby Books. So it got a really big boost last week.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah. It really meant a lot over at katiecurrickmedia.com. Zibby Owens is their book person, and she's a big book influencer and has her own imprint now. And so I was very happy that she included Lost and Found in Paris on her list of books to must reads for 2022. Made me super duper happy. It was a real surprise. Great. So that's a little book news. Goodreads giveaway, Lost and Found in Paris. All very excited.
Well, can we talk? I have some candle news for you,
sure.
Sister.
Yes, okay. Please.
This was a business report I saw. A woman in Florida, Allison Laurie. She is a big enthusiast of Bath and Body Works candles. You know those places that are in every mall, right? Bath and Body Works. For three decades, they've been making highly scented candles, you know, and they're affordable and they're a quick pick me up. Well, anyway, she is really quite a fan of these. She has a whole room in her house devoted to her candles. It goes on. But on this past week, they had a special sale where you can buy one of their three wick candles for $10.25, which is a 60% off.
Whew, yeah.
So she and her boyfriend and her fiance, he's now her fiance, they're first in line. I love this. 4:30 a.m. in Boca Raton, Florida. They went to three different locations that day. She has 221 new candles to add to her collection. Okay. Now I know you're thinking, wow, that seems crazy. Why would you want that many bath and bed body candles? But it is a thing. In fact, while I was doing my research for this story, I happened to notice in another area of Florida, three women were arrested on grand larceny for trying to steal $45,000 worth of candles from Bath and Body Works. Okay, really? It's a thing, all right? People love these candles and they come out with new scents like that have names like Twinkling Nights or Underwater Oasis, okay? And people want them. They just smell great. And some people like Allison, she's a really big fan. So you know her house must really smell great, right? Our sister Monica, who has a lot of allergies,
right,
would not be able to go visit Allison. Have you ever seen that? Have you seen the lines of people lining up for the...
I have. Yeah. Yes. I mean, it is amazing. And I I can't go in there because it does make me sneeze. It's just too much. It's too much olfactory sensations. I can't go in there. Yeah. But I'm surprised when you're at the mall and you see lines out the door, people waiting.
People love these.
Yeah. I know they have an annual candle day, for instance. And so maybe that's what it was. But yeah, I'm always surprised by what is going on because like in some malls, it's the only store that's still in business, Bath and Body Works, but it's a very popular store.
Right. Yeah. This is the secret to their success are these candles. People love them and they're affordable and it's a quick pick me up.
I'm thinking about the $40,000 of stolen candles. So like, your minivan? How do you do that?
I don't know, but you heard it here first on Satellite Sisters. Okay. Bitcoin, it's over. Scented candles. That's what you need to get into. I believe that this is going to be the next big thing. Okay.
Excellent. It's a good heads up, Joel. It wouldn't have dawned.
You're laughing now, Liz. But okay, people are risking going to prison to buy it to steal these candles, Liz. There's something there.
Okay.
Right. Well, this investigative report is about on along the same lines as Julie's investigative report, but it involves hairdressers.
Oh, okay, good. Okay.
So this, I saw this headline, I'm going to click on it from BuzzFeed about what your hairdresser wants you to know. And apparently it started as a Reddit thread. So that's even better because it's just hairdressers complaining about us. And so fantastic. But, this is the season when we're going in, we're getting our hair done, we're leaving a holiday tip. So I thought I would pass along a few of these things that your hairdresser wants you to know. But I'd like to do it in what I imagine to be their attitude when they posted on Reddit. Okay.
Oh, so we're going to get some voice acting here.
Oh, good. All right.
Okay. Here's something your hairdresser wants you to know. Don't ask me to take an inch off all over and then say, we can go from there if I want more. That's like asking me to do two haircuts. Come on.
Okay. Okay. Noted.
Fair enough.
Okay.
Here's one. I hadn't even thought about this, but apparently it's an issue. If we are done with the cut, please don't help with removing the hair. You're not removing it. You're actually making it worse by patting it into your clothes, sticking it to your skin, and letting it fall into your shoes.
Okay. I've never checked my shoes. I didn't even know there was hair there.
I've never helped. No, I'm not tempted to help. They get out the blower. I leave that to them. Yeah.
Why do you care if our hair is in our shoes, hairdresser? Okay. Right. Here's one. Here's one I like. 99% of the time, I can't hear you when blow drying. It's bloody impossible to have a conversation when blow drying. So, and especially with our masks. So stop talking to me when I'm blow drying.
Okay.
That's good, right?
That's good.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. How about this one? Always clean your ears before a haircut.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't even need to say anymore. Do I, Julie, about waxy, manky ears? Clean your ears.
Okay. That never dawned on me. Well, not, but that they would. Yes, of course.
You better write everything down.
Yeah. All right. Okay. We have two more. This one is from a hairdresser whose handle is Suki Pookie. Please remember, we are human. We have lives and families too. So sometimes we're a little less happy. It's not that we hate you. Maybe we just lost someone close to us or going through a breakup. Working when you know that any moment you'll get a call saying someone died is making it hard to be super cheery. We don't have to share those things. Okay. Suki Pookie.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. All right.
I can understand. Okay.
It's hard. It's hard to be up all the time. Yeah. It's hard to be up all the time. Just seems like maybe she has some stuff to work out too. Okay.
And your dog too. Your dog is working out.
I know. I close all the doors. And
I know. It's all right.
We'll open them.
She's worked up about the hairdresser comments. Okay. Keep going. Okay.
Probably some deliveries at your door.
This is the last one. And I think this is important. Well, that's what they say in the quote. Finally, and this is important. Do not moan while we wash your hair. Just don't.
All right.
Okay. I think that's for men mainly.
Woo. Well, have either of you ever, for as much as I enjoy a good like head massage during the hair washing at a salon, it would never dawn on me to moan. Have you ever moaned?
No.
No. No. Okay. No. All right. Good.
Try to stay well behaved. Okay.
Yeah. No. So now you know. Now you know. You heard it from the hairdressers themselves. All right, we have a couple of entertaining sister things. Is that where we're at here? Oh, yeah, yes. Jill, you had a movie.
A quick but really firm recommendation for the, it's on HBO Max. It's the biopic called King Richard. And this is about Richard Williams, who is the father of Venus and Serena Williams. Will Smith plays him in this biopic. It is outstanding. I would highly recommend it. You don't need to be a tennis player or be interested in tennis, but it is the story of one family, of a remarkable family when you consider they had two, world champions there. I just highly recommend it. Venus and Serena Williams are the producers. They only agreed to be the producers after they saw the finished product. And I think a lot of us may have gotten Richard Williams, who was kind of a controversial character. We may have gotten him wrong. This is his story, and the media always portrayed him as being somewhat, out of control. And I think you will really like it. It's called King Richard. It's on HBO Max.
Really looking forward to seeing.
Yes,
it.
I would recommend.
Yeah, people say Will Smith is a lock for an Oscar nomination for this, and he's always worth seeing.
Right. Yes, right. Okay, well, I want to recommend another holiday movie over there on Netflix.
Okay.
Last week, I recommended one with Castle in the title that starred Brooke Shields. And I just like to remind people, these are not Oscar worthy vehicles. Okay.
These are holiday entertainment. Okay.
This is holiday entertainment. In general, you can just have it running in the background while you're making cookies, things like that. Okay. Just want to be clear. Okay. So this one is along that way. I did laugh out loud several times. It's called Single All the Way on Netflix. It has a fantastic cast. It's a fun holiday rom-com. It centers around a young gay man. He goes home to his family's house in New Hampshire for Christmas from LA. He brings his roommate because they're always bugging him. Like, why doesn't he have a partner? Why doesn't he have a partner? And it turns out the roommate is the love of his life. And I'm not giving anything away because that's the point. It's a holiday rom-com, but the cast is fantastic. Jennifer Coolidge plays like the crazy aunt. Kathy Najimy is the mom who's trying to fix him up, and her name is Carol. And so in December, she likes to be called Christmas Carol. And that made me laugh.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah. There's some characters from Schitt's Creek you're going to recognize there. Barry Bostwick plays the dad. And the young couple is played by Michael Urie and Philemon Chambers. So it's just super fun and charming. And there's some genuinely funny, funny moments. There are two like disaffected teen girls that I enjoyed a lot. So it's called Single All the Way over on Netflix. Worth a look. Worth a look. It's fun.
Okay. Good tip, Leanne.
Yeah. All right. Anything else? Anybody have anything else?
I'm just really, next week's show, is
Liz, yes, thank
you. Yeah, it's our final show of the year, and we asked you to post in the Satellite Sisters Facebook group or on Instagram using the hashtag Sat Sisters, look what I did 2021, just like your observations of your year and the things you did. We are overwhelmed by the thoughtfulness of the post, by the things that you shared with us and each other. It's really unbelievable to read what everyone has been through on the high side and the low side. And so I think we're just doing the whole show about that, right, Leanne?
Yeah, right. I'm really looking forward to it. But yeah, Liz, some have been just super fun and sweet and able to poke fun at yourself. Shout out to the Christmas cookie one. There was just some really bad Christmas cookies. Yeah, that was great. But then also really emotional, huge life transitions in 2020, 2021 that are playing out now. So really sort of just a wide range. Very moving, very moving. Thank you for posting. And so continue to post. Please use the hashtag Sat Sisters, look what we did. Look what I did 2021. Sat Sisters, look what I did 2021. So we can find your posts when we're reviewing them. But that is going to be our show next week. We're just going to be talking.
It'll be very special. Yes.
Yeah.
Very special holiday special.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're looking forward to that. And of course, then our holiday wrap party on Sunday. That's it. I want to thanks to our sponsors, and thanks to you who make this whole thing work, because you support our sponsors and the sponsors support us. And that's how we're able to do Satellite Sisters, the podcast. So thank you. Big thanks to Sergio Enriquez, who was our engineer. Thank you, Sergio, and to Emily Loudermilk, who is our graphic designer. Emily has always makes us laugh with her designs. If you want to see Emily's work for Satellite Sisters, the best way to do that is to either subscribe to Pep Talk, which is our newsletter. You can find a subscription link over at satellitesisters.com, or follow us on Instagram at Sat Sisters. All right, our to-do list. Liz, I'm just doing what you said. Tonight, I'm going to a live theater event that will make me feel good and feel joyful. I'm going to see Head Over Heels. It's the Go-Go's jukebox musical that's playing at Pasadena Playhouse, and it got terrific reviews in the LA Times. They said it was on Broadway, and they said they fixed a lot of stuff that was not working on Broadway. But again, it's 80 minutes, no intermission. Love it.
Okay, perfect.
Love it.
Celebration.
Jewel, what about you?
Okay, well, you may not know this, Leanne, because you're the youngest in the family, but Grandfather Dolan was a big tipper. He liked to tip everyone, and when he tipped people, he used to say, light a candle. And of course, he was referring, because he was Catholic, he was referring to the votive candles that are in the Catholic Church. But I think this is a good time of the year to really acknowledge people that are in our lives, you know, to tip where you can, to show your appreciation, and also to light a candle and to remember others that, you know, where the holidays may be, you know, a hardship for them, that either they have lost someone or they can't be with their loved ones. So that's going to be my to-do for this week, to light a candle.
Very nice. That's so nice. Okay, well, this is Liz. I'm going to light up my kitchen. So this was upon review of last year's holiday wrap party, I realized there was a whole holiday lighting scheme I had going on in the Cooking with Liz kitchen that looked very special for the holiday wrap party. So I'm going to have to figure out, you know, either find those lights, get some new lights, but I need to like up the Cooking with Liz kitchen game. And I have between now and Sunday to do that. So you can look forward to seeing what that light up my kitchen or my
all right
set, as I think of it now more.
You're set.
My set.
Of course she does. That's it. That's so much, Liz, right there. Okay. Okay.
All right, sisters. Hey, have a great week.
You too, Leanne.
And don't forget, call your satellite sister.